Welcome to Conversations with Puppet Labs, featuring leaders of automation, operations, and technology.
Hi, I'm Solomon Hikes. I'm the founder and, as of yesterday, CTO of .cloud. We just announced that Ben Golub joined as CEO, so we're teaming up to make .cloud successful. And the big recent news for us is that we launched a project called Docker, which is an open source container engine. So what Docker does is it makes it very, very easy for developers to package their application in a container that is standard and highly portable. So it contains all of its dependencies, and it can be moved across servers. It can be deployed on public cloud, private cloud, on your laptop, on a VM, on a bare metal machine, etc. And it will run exactly the same way. So it's highly consistent, and it can be built from an application written in any language using any framework. It's agnostic to all of that. And on the other side, ops teams and infrastructure managers can receive containers regardless of how they were built and deploy them and orchestrate them and scale them in any way that they want. And so, you know, one typical use case actually is combining Docker with Puppet. So ops teams have standardized, you know, they scale out huge infrastructures using Puppet, and they want to be able to run software components that are sometimes built using Puppet scripts. Sometimes they come from outside the organization, so they can't guarantee that. But they still want to include these software components into their own orchestration and infrastructure layer. And so they use Docker for that.
Great. And so maybe you could compare and contrast, you know, the difference between a container and like a virtual machine.
Sure. Yeah, it's a very relevant comparison. So virtual machines, you know, obviously V stands for virtual, but M stands for machine. In other words, VMs are a very convenient way to allocate chunks of hardware. You know, I want a certain amount of RAM and disk space with a certain kernel running on it. That's what VMs are really good at. But they're not so good as a unit of software delivery. So, you know, sometimes it's possible for a developer to ship his application or a component of his application as a VM, but it's not something that you would want to do all the time, and it's certainly not a way, it's not portable, right? You can't build one VM that magically will work everywhere. Sometimes people don't have VMs at all, right? They just run on bare metal. Sometimes they use VMware, sometimes they're on EC2, etc. And so, by contrast, containers are very lightweight, they're very portable, and so they're perfect for delivering software components. So you have actually a very complementary situation, right? You can use VMs to allocate infrastructure or not, and then you can use containers to allocate software components. Now, containers run well on VMs, for example.
Great. And what are some metrics in terms of like the benefit of using something like a container rather than something else?
So from a performance point of view, the reason containers are so interesting is that they have negligible overhead. And by that I mean that in almost every real-world situation, the overhead of running a container is zero, right? It's the same as running on bare metal. And that makes it very, very interesting because since it's free to run containers, if your machine is, you know, you can run thousands of containers on the same machine because it's the same kernel that's shared across all the containers. It's essentially the Linux kernel itself that is simply isolating processes from one another. And because the overhead is zero, you can use containers very liberally. For example, you can break down your stack into nice, clean, logical components. You know, one container for the database, one container for the app server, one container for the caching layer, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can deploy all of these containers on your development laptop, no problem, right? Or you could deploy 10 different instances of that stack that itself has 10 components, no performance impact. So it's, you know, it would be impossible to do that with VMs on your laptop because that would mean deploying 100 VMs, and you know, that's just not practical.
Yeah, I know David Strauss of Pantheon wrote an article on Linux Journal about these containers and how they're using them, and maybe you could talk a bit about how you see people are using them out in the field now.
Yeah, I think in a way Linux containers have been the dirty little secret of a lot of platform providers, you know, whether it's Pantheon or us at .cloud or guys like Heroku, database providers also, the MongoLab and MongoHQ guys and Object Rocket. A lot of different public platform providers use it. PyCloud for scientific computing using Python. And so what's really interesting is that everyone's using it in a custom way, but there hasn't been a standardized tool that everyone could build on top of and contribute to so that we don't all reinvent the wheel all the time, right? And so that's what Docker is. And the reason people are excited about Docker is that we've reached a certain amount of critical mass. I think we've reached 100 different contributors outside of .cloud. You know, we're in the GitHub trending for a while, so there's a gazillion followers and stars, and you know, so it's moving very fast. There's a real community, and the early core community of the Docker project are basically made of teams that know all about containers. They've built their own custom implementation, and they've decided one by one to merge those contributions in certain cases or just replace them with Docker. And so that over time, we're federating the effort and we're building this foundation that we can then all take our different directions and customize for our respective products. So it saves a lot of engineering time.
Great. And finally, where do you see Docker going next? And you know, what are kind of the big things that you see down the road here?
Yeah. So the first thing is Docker is very young. It's been launched only 3 or 4 months ago. And we've been insistent that it's not yet ready for production, but it will be soon. And there are lots of companies that are actually already rolling it out and planning for a production deployment, you know, go live with it in the coming months. And so I think that's going to further accelerate the growth of the project. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on the maintainers of the project, including me, to stabilize the APIs, number one, and then, you know, produce a 1.0 release that is stable and feature complete. And, you know, the use cases are, you know, really interesting and it's really wide. I mean, on the one hand, you got people building desktop applications like Firefox and things like that that are using Docker containers to manage the exact build and dev environment to make sure you get the right build of Firefox for the right version. And then the other end, you've got people rolling out giant Hadoop clusters on bare metal using Docker, right? And so we're going to see a lot of real-world usage of Docker, and I think that's going to further accelerate the growth of the project. So it's pretty exciting.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thanks.